Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read from beginning at verse 7 and continue through verse 16. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And let's skip down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read your word this morning, where you have spoken that we would come to the knowledge of the Son of God. And as we come to that knowledge, it would build up and edify the church. It would, in fact, every joint would be supplied with the energy. And Father, we realize that, as your prophet said, the bride cannot go until she recognizes who she is. And Lord, in this recognition, we have to recognize who your Son was. Because when we see the role that your Son played, how obedient he was, how he subjected himself to the Father in all things, that he came to the point where not his doctrine was his, neither was his walk, neither was his very life, for he gave it willingly. Even his will, he said, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. And so, Father, we recognize his role, and we recognize then the role of sons. And Father, we pray that you would energize this word to us, that as we which have received your word, your vindicated word for this hour, have also received your Spirit, and knowing that it is your Spirit which energizes. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to that energy, and we pray that you'd stimulate by revelation and bring forth in our flesh fruits that would be indicative, and that would be a reflection of the great revelation which you've given us in this hour. And now we commit all of our prayer, we commit all of our love, our being, we commit it all to thee. We commit the song service, we commit the word, Father, we commit the fellowship afterwards in our prayer. We commit it all back to thee in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Last night we spoke from, who is this Melchizedek, again from paragraph 70, where Brother Branham said, see, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just quit, just get into Christ, that's all, see. Because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead, and your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit, then you try to live a right kind of life. Now notice, as you become subject, he says, you begin trying to do things that you didn't do before. You begin trying to live a right life for Christ. Well, getting back to Ephesians, he says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What supplies every joint? The blood. And notice then, he says, that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual, that word is energio, to the effectual working in the measure of every part. It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The edifying, the word edifying means to be building up. How does the church build up? In love. Notice there's got to be something that takes that love into every fiber of the body, and that's the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, last night we spoke on having the right attitude, or the attitude that was in Christ being in you. Remember in Colossians we read, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And toward the end of our sermon, we brought out a few things showing you that there has to be certain energies behind our prayer. And we found out that the thing that energizes your prayer and energizes your faith is love. There's nothing like love to build up energy within a young man or a young woman. Just look at what it will do for them. Well, the guy could be as lazy as an old foxhound and as discourteous as anyone you'd ever met. But let him fall in love one time, and he begins to do things that he never thought that he would do. He begins to clean himself up. He'll exercise to lose the fat. If they've never gone to church before, they'll start attending church with their girlfriend or boyfriend. You know, that's how the Lord got a hold of Brother Branham. He used a woman, see? He used Hope, his girlfriend. God had tried to get a hold of him. God appeared to him in a pillar of, whirlwind in the tree. Gave him visions. Did that get him to the Word? What did God use? He used a girlfriend. He used Hope. He got to go into church. Finally, he opened himself up to hearing the Word. And God, through the Word, quickened him. It wasn't the vision that quickened him. It wasn't the whirlwind, the very presence of God that quickened him. It was the Word that quickened him. You know, guys could care less what their hair looks like. But then when they meet Miss Susie Q, they begin to look at those things. They begin to wash their fingernails. They begin to wash behind the ears. They begin to take showers on a regular basis. They begin to groom. And they even take time to brush their teeth and comb their hair. And they'll even go out and buy products like breath mints, which they never thought of before. You name it. Trying new things to make their appearance better. Let the love bug bite, and those energies begin to build and build and build. And to begin to put into action that old, dead weight. So we see the love. That love is a great energy force. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13 and verse 13, we read, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Paul says here that when it is all said and done, there remains three things. There remains faith, which is revelation. There remains hope, which is an earnest expectation. And there remains love, which is an outward expression of that revelation and that expectation. Revelation begins the energy cycle. It is the flipping of the switch. Then the earnest expectation begins the building up of the energies. And finally, love is the outward expression of what that revelation is all about. A young man gets a revelation of the one he's to marry. And that begins to build up an expectation. And this expectation begins to build up energies within him. And when it reaches a level that he can no longer contain, it bubbles over in an outward expression of love, and he begins doing. He courts her with flowers. He courts her with dinners. He courts her with things. Trying to channel his feelings for her into some sort of expression. And it comes forth in a giving. And if a filial love can do that for a man, just think what the love of God that created the world can do for you and me. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And reading from verse 8. "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous." From the Message Exploits the Faith, Brother Branham said, "If we be in God, then we're energized by His Spirit, and my hands are His hands." So we're talking about something that energizes us, and that's love. In 1 John 3 and verse 13, we read, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we..." What's perception? What is to perceive? What does that mean? Huh? "Hereby we understand the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Notice, it's got to be expressed. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because he keepeth his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." From the Message, "Work that I do bears witness of me, preached in 1951, Brother Branham said, "After all, I'd rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than all the gifts that there is in the Bible." He said, "That's right." Wow. "After all, I'd rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible." From where I think Pentecost failed, he said, when you have really been sealed by the Holy Spirit, love divine follows you. We saw last night in our study that Jesus prophesied, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would die out. But when you're really sealed, he said, the love divine follows you. From "Believest Thou This," he said, "it used to be a long time ago when the neighbor got sick or something, we went over and cut his corn. Cut him some wood if it was wintertime. And today the neighbor can die and you don't know it until you've read it in the paper." That's right. No friendship among one another anymore. That's awful. "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold," said Jesus. "It shall die and fade away." From "Questions and Answers," he said, "I remember years ago, you always heard them talk about the sawdust trails and things in the tabernacle. That didn't make it anymore, not a bit more. But then it was fresh. God was calling His church. I've seen them sob and cry and lay on the altar all night long. I've went to their houses and you could hear them when you come up. And just in their bedchamber, men and women crying, 'Oh God!' You see them walk through the church, and I'd see the piano start playing, 'Jesus, keep me near the cross,' and tears flowing down there, you know. And they'd walk into the church and then walk down to another church, and I hear them there. 'There's a precious fountain, oh God. Save my boy. Save my daughter. She's lost, Lord. Please.' You don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn." Jesus predicted this. He said, because the love of many, love would fail. That because iniquity would abound, the love of many would fail. See? You see, it would grow cold. It would go away. The love is dying away. And what they got into is just a form. Now, we're talking about what energizes a person. And we have shown that this energy is love. Love for a new car might energize a man to go out to work to pay for it. I know, a lot of you boys know that. Love for things will get you out, get you up in the morning, go to work, even if it's work you don't like. Love for things. Love for things causes people to work all kinds of jobs and all kinds of hours in order to have those things. And what we just heard about Brother Ram say is that there used to be a love for one another in our lives, but that love is dying out. Our love for one another has been replaced with a love for things. That is the influence of Laodicea upon the people, whether they are aware of it or not. Laodicea is a love for things. And the real source of love, pure love, unselfish love, unfeigned love, is God. It is not things. For God is love. And the reason that love for the brethren is leaving the people is that God Himself is in the process of leaving. He's beginning to pull back. He's beginning to lift up from the earth. Now notice he said there used to be such a love for God that people would cry out to God day and night for their loved ones. But we don't see that anymore. He said years ago it was fresh. God was calling His church. And I've seen them sob, and I've seen them cry and lay at the altar all night. I went to their houses, and you could hear them as you came up the walk. And you could hear them in the bedchamber, men and women, crying. Oh God, you'd see them walk through the church and playing the piano, and Jesus come near the cross, and tears flowing, and people calling out for God to save their kids, to save their loved ones. But he said, what's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. You don't see that anymore. From Questions and Answers, he said, you don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus predicted this, that the love, because of the love of many, the love would fail. That because iniquity would abound, the love of many would fail. You see? See, it would grow cold. It would go away. The love is dying away. And what they got into is just a form. He said they come to church, they play, and people shout and scream and walk away, and they're just the same old and different people. From thirsting for life, he said, oh God, if we have to take every miracle out of the church, if we have to take the pipe organs out and the plush pews out and give us back that godly love, brotherly love among the people in fellowship, if we have to do that, take it all back again to have life. That's why I enjoy so much when you go overseas. I tell you, if any of you ever have a feeling like you want to rekindle your spirit, you come with me to one of these places. Come with me to the Philippines. Come with me to Peru. When you see those people have nothing, their tables and chairs are made out of crates. Their houses are made out of bamboo, shredded. Their roofs are made out of leaves. What clothing they got secondhand someplace. What food they have, they've gone and fetched it for themselves. And when they do find work, which is very rare, it's working all day in the hot sun, cutting sugar cane. And if you've been around cutting of sugar cane, with that old machete, wax that cane, all the dust comes off on your back. And you're gritty, and you're sooty. And when the brethren get together, they forget all that. They're lifted into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And they can't wait. The first meeting that I had, out over by on the other side of a mountain, and it was down by the sea. People walked 26 miles across jungle, across the mountains, to come for fellowship. 26 miles. That's the love of God in their hearts. Can't wait to get together. Can't wait to sing to the Lord. Can't wait to fellowship, because it's a treasure to them. And Brother Branham said, maybe we need to get rid of the nice pews and the nice pipe organs. If we could just get back to where we have nothing, then maybe the love of God will begin to build up again in our hearts. You know, I think he had a point there. Laodicea is a curse. Things are a curse. It takes you, it pulls you in different directions, and it pulls you away from the love of God. Why is it that the great revivals happening in the message today is not in America? You won't find it amongst Mr. White Man. No, sir. You want to find a church that's on fire? You'll have to go to some colored congregation. Or go to Africa. Or go to Asia. Or go down South America. Brown, black, and yellow. Why? Because those people don't have Laodicea. They don't have the rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They have nothing! And when you send them one message book, you just send them a treasure. When you sent them a tape and a tape recorder, you sent them wealth. Well, in this country today, we have the entire message. 1,120-some, now it's up to 1,158. We've got it all, and yet have we got anything? Do we have the love of God that we had in our heart when we first heard of the message, when we had nothing, when we had 25 cents maybe to splurge on a can of pop? And that's all we could afford for pleasures. But we had the love for the Word. But he said, what's happening? The Holy Spirit's beginning to pull back. The Holy Spirit's beginning to leave America. I just pray that we're so in tune with Him that when He does leave, we'll be with Him. That's how the rapture's going to take place. You know, the world's looking for some great cataclysm. They're waiting for the big earthquake to happen. Something, you know, packed full of energy, packed full of power, they're looking
some great cataclysm to happen to get us ready.
No, brother, sister, He's leaving. And when He leaves, the great sustainer, when He pulls back, then everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But it's too late.
It's too late. If you've got to wait for a great earthquake in California to get ready, it's too late.
He's pulling back.
Brother Branham said the rapture would be like this. He said it could pass through you and you wouldn't know it.
You know that fourth dimension is passing through you right now.
Do you know it? Are you aware of it? Only because you had a prophet tell you.
The same prophet said the rapture would do the same thing. It would sweep right through. And only those that are aware will be caught up to it.
The rest will be looking down the road for this great earthquake to take place, this great tent ministry to take place. It'll be too late. It'll be too late. From the message, thirsting for love, thirsting for life. Brother Ram said, oh God, if we have to take every miracle out of the church, all the pipe organs, plush pews, and give us back to that godly love, brotherly love among the people and fellowship. If we have to do that, then take it back to that again. I think that's what the squeeze will be all about. When the economy goes, you won't have your jobs to keep you from the Word any longer. You won't have an excuse. From He Cares to You, He said, you know the Bible speaks that there'd be no love in the last days, but just among the elect people. That's right. The Scripture speaks of that. That the husband would be against wife, and the wife against husband, children against parents. Just amongst the elected of the Lord will there be any love left. And from 1 Thessalonians we read, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now notice how Paul phrases his thoughts here. He says your works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. And we all know that the word of means out from or having its source from. And therefore we can read these words as Paul says, your work which will spring forth or spring out from your faith. Your revelation. And your labor, which comes forth as a result of love. It is the love which produces the labor. Love, then, is the energizing power of the labor. In Galatians 5 and 6, Paul says, but faith which worketh by love. Then we see that faith or revelation itself is energized by love. Now notice Paul tells us again that our faith worketh by love. The word for worketh is the Greek word energio, and it means energy or energizes. Our faith then is energized by love, Paul says. From 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 we read, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually is energized also in you that believe. Energio. From wisdom versus faith, Brother Branham says, the disciples had it sowed into them. Then the Spirit come to energize the word. Not by power, not by might, but not by wisdom, not by understanding, not by this, not by that, but by my Spirit I will energize my word. By my Spirit, says the Lord, it's the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work. Who's a mechanic in here? Paul, what kind of water do you put into a battery? Can you take it from a mud puddle? What do you use? Huh? Can't use tap water. You have to use distilled water. You know why? Tap water has minerals. The minerals will corrupt. You use distilled water, And that will keep it from corrupting, and the corrosion, you won't get that white stuff on the caps. You won't get the battery corroding. You've got to have pure water of the Word, or there comes corruption in the church. He said the disciples had it sowed into them, then the Spirit comes to energize the Word. See? Not by power, not by might, not by wisdom, not by understanding, not by this, that, or the other. The same thing with colloidal silver. Use mineral water, you're going to get a bunch of corruption. You're going to get particles too big. Use pure distilled water, pure water, and you get pure colloidal silver. It works in anything. You see. Now, from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. It is for yours and my benefit, see? Notice in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations. That word operations is energema, or energies. But it is the same God which worketh, which energizes all in all. And what is the purpose behind the energies of God being utilized for you and me? Notice verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Why would you want to have energy? So you can do. So you can produce. You see, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, if I take a branch and it's not hooked to the vine, what happens to the branch? It dies. But when I hook that branch to the vine, what happens? It produces fruit. It energizes, and the vine energizes the branch. See? And he says, and there are diversities of operations. There's diversities of energies. But it is the same God that energizes all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, it's for our benefit. For to one is given the Spirit of the Word of wisdom, to another the Word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work, all these are energized by that self-same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. From Philippians 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh. For it is God which energizes in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. From James 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that you may be healed. For the effectual, the energized, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why some people, their prayer isn't energized. You know what energizes your prayer? Try love. If you so love a person and that person needs healing, that love energizes your prayer, but if there's no love in your heart, well, the energized, fervent prayer. Now you could be like Balaam's prophets and pray all day long, or be like the Catholic nun and pray all day long. It's not energized. It's fervent, but it's not energized. But when you so love, Brother Branham had a great heart for love. He loved people. That's why he could pray for the sick and he'd get results. It was effectual. It was energized by love. That's why when he was going to pray for the sick and the bull came up, he said, that bull saw that love radiating from him. That effectual, fervent prayer. That bull saw the love. And divine love had that bull go back and sit down. The bees turned away because of divine love. It energized. They saw the reality of a son of God in the duty of his father. And they said, oh, this man isn't out to kill us. He doesn't hate us. He loves us. And he said, I looked at that bull and I told him I love him, but I had to go and pray. And he just turned around and walked away and sat down. That bull, he said, had killed people. It was a killer bull. Yet for him, it turned around. There's something about this, brother, sister, that we need to understand and we need to apply in our own life. For it is God which worketh, which energizes in both you to do His good pleasure. From the message, hear ye Him. He said, now if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if He will come and He knows you and He can tell me, just like He showed the Son of God, if He's the same, if He has to see Jesus, we are the branches and He's the vine. Is that right? You Bible readers know that. Does the vine bear fruit? Be careful. No, the branches bear fruit. The vine only energizes the branches. So Jesus has no eyes tonight but mine and yours on earth. He has no hands but mine and yours. He has no voice but mine and yours. And He is the Spirit in us. And we are the branches to bear fruit as He energizes us. Is that right? Now, that's the way that you have to do here. It's got to be God energizing. See? In 1 Corinthians 12, and God is love. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. From deep call to the deep, Brother Brown said, now, the vine only energizes the branch. The vine doesn't bear fruit. The branch bears fruit. How many knows that? You don't pick it off the vine, you pick it off the branch. And who is the vine? Who's the branch? He said, the church is the branch. Excuse me. From the message, why? He said, oh, how the Son of God took His own life and injected it into my life and injected it into your life and then comes down and energizes it with His presence. Oh my, he says. From Ephesians 1 and verse 11, we read, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh, who energizes all things after the counsel of His own will. Brother, sister, God isn't in it energizing it. It'll fall flat, sure. For the spoken words, the original seed said, God never placed signs ahead of His word. Amen, that's a scorcher. God never placed signs ahead of His word. They were added for proof of the word, but the word is first. To prove it, Elijah said to the woman, bake me a cake first. Then watch the miracle happen. Come to the word first, and then watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. How can a messenger sent from God just believe some of the scripture and not all the word? See? Or deny part of it. From Ephesians 1 verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? Notice it's directed to us. Who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought, which He energized in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. That's why, you know, they talk about the Shroud of Turin. I don't care if it's a genuine shroud or a fake shroud. The fact is that when God energized Him, it had to be like a nuclear blast. They said the only thing that could have been put on that shroud is like a nuclear fusion of some sort. The energy of God coming down, and if this, what? Be in you. If this same Spirit be in you that was in Christ Jesus, it'll also raise your mortal bodies. God energizing His people. Why do you think He appears like a light? It's showing there's an energy there. See? Now, an energy is power. But as I thought on my way, he said, so the woman touched him, and he turned and told her. Now, if he's the same God tonight that he was then, the same high priest that can now, this hour, be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, he'd act the same way. Now he's gone into glory. He's the vine. We are the branches. The vine doesn't bear fruit. The branch bears fruit. Is that right? You don't get fruit off the vine. You get it off the branch. Well, if we're the branches and he's the vine, then he furnishes the energy, which is the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's from him, it'll act like him. From Ephesians 3 and verse 19, and to know the love of Christ. Notice, he's talking about to know the love of Christ, which, he says, passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh, that energizes in us. And what power is that? He answers it in the next verse. Unto him. Him who? Him, God. And what is God? God is love. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Notice, and to know the love of Christ. And what does it do? It energizes. It worketh, he says. It worketh in us. It energizes in us. From Jehovah Jireh. You see how Paul's teaching the same. Brother Branham teaches the same thing. Almost same quotes from Paul, from William Branham. Jehovah Jireh. Now the vine doesn't bear fruit, does it? Who is he talking to? The church. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The branch is energized by the life of the vine. Therefore, Jesus has no lips tonight on earth, but mine and yours. He has no eyes, but mine and yours. He has no hands, but mine and yours. He energizes us, and we bring forth his life as he brings it through us. Whether it's preaching the gospel by lip, or it's seeing vision by eye, whether it's whatever it is, laying hands on the sick, whatever it is, it's Christ working through the branches of his church, every office literally electrified by his presence. You know, we talked about that fourth dimension, didn't we? Fourth dimension, Brother Brown said, all disease comes out of the fourth dimension. He also said radio, television, those waves, electronic. If that electronic waves, well then, what we've seen where electronics now is being used in the healing. An MRI, what is it? It's an electronic scan. Right? It was an X-ray. That was the beginning of the electronic, you know, a process of finding out about health. What do? They look through that fourth dimension, electronics, into the body. Today, the MRIs are so refined. It's not like, you know, when you go in to have an ultra scan, an ultrasound, that's just sound waves bouncing off. An MRI, they can actually see the organs. It's like taking not just an X-ray where you see some bones, it can see organs. They can see through you. Electronics, another dimension, a fourth dimension. And Brother Bram's letting us know that there's God energizes. We're talking about the electricity of God, the energy of God flowing through a conduit. And you and I happen to be a conduit. A lightning rod, so to speak. From Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh, which energizes in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. From Fundamental Foundation of Faith. Brother Branham said, many of you ministers here, you wouldn't want to say that you just spit it out a sermon or just stood and popped it off. You'd want to say that it come from inspiration. I believe it. Certainly. Well, it has to come from the Holy Spirit that energizes you to speak that message. If it isn't, why, you'll never be successful. You'd just say, well, you know, Charles Finney said, and so forth, and a man who copied their sermons out, and when he got up there, but when he got up there and preached it, he preached it with inspiration. And the Holy Ghost in the same sermon preached that night, or the night before, hundreds brought to the altar. But somebody else get up there and just kind of read. Well, you know, Brother Branham said, you know, it's like the fella was preaching from a certain minister's sermons, and this happened to be down south, and he didn't have a lot of inspiration anymore. He's old and wore out. I believe your body can be old and wore out, brother, sister, but if you're in the Word, the inspiration of God is there. Look at Brother Vail, 87 years old. 10 years older than this other brother was. And he'd get up there and he's reading some other man's sermon notes. And if you don't like it, there's the door. That's a lot of inspiration. Brother Branham said, you can get up and read another man's sermon, it won't do you any good unless it's been inspired to you. You can read the message. You can hear the tapes. It won't do you any good unless it's inspired to you. You see, there's got to be an energy. An energy. And that energy comes by the Spirit of God. There's got to be something take place through a divine gift that will energize the people with the Holy Spirit to believe. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, he says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as of the word of men, but as it was the truth, the word of God which worketh, effectually energizes also in you that believe." In other words, you not only heard it, but you were energized by it. From belief in the heart, he said, "And now watch, I've seen it work." And to think that if you'll get into contact with God, it'll become till it isn't your voice anymore. It's not your thoughts anymore. It becomes God's thoughts and God's voice. You are just a vine, just a branch. Excuse me. He's the vine. And if His Spirit that goes in and energizes, as long as you can get yourself out of the way, He will fill it up. And then you can be a witness, just like Noah's Ark was a witness, just like Jesus was a witness of God. He becomes so full of God, till Him and God became one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, the very expression. Oh, brother, sister, if we could just, like Brother Branham said, get ourselves out of the way like Jesus did. Not my will be done, but Thine. Not my doctrine, Lord, but Thy doctrine. Not the actions that I want to do, but the actions You want me to do. If we could come to that place, God would use you like He used Brother Branham, like He used Jesus Christ, His own Son. Oh, yes. Brother Branham often said, if God could just get a man to where that man would just get himself out of the way, God could use that man. We're talking about how do we get energized. You got to plug into something, and you got to route it to something. Look, what good does electricity running through these switches do if it's not going from some place, a source of energy, to something, a light bulb or a fan or an air conditioner? What good does the energy of God's Word do if it's just in you, but it's not performing, it's not bearing fruit, it's not doing? You could be that fan for someone. You could be that thing that brings the cool of the presence of the Lord to them. You could be that person that warms their heart. You could be that person that makes a difference, energized by the power of God. From Arrow of Deliverance, from Belief from the Heart, he said, "And now watch, I've seen it work." And to think that if you'll get into that contact with God, it becomes, till it isn't your voice anymore, it's not your thoughts anymore, it becomes God's thoughts and God's voice. Okay, from James 5 and 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. For the effectual, the energized, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." From Arrow of God's Deliverance, he said, why, the reason that Moses failed in the first place, well, here's what's the matter. It was the lack of having what the burning bush had. And Moses had the same message, "I'm here to deliver," but it wasn't anointed. It wasn't full of the energy of God. It didn't work, did it? When he came in contact with that socket, took his shoes off, now, you know, they say, you know, if you're around energy and electric field, whatever, you better keep those shoes on. God told Moses, take his off. Why? He wanted to energize Moses. Hallelujah! He wanted to send those shockwaves right through his body. Then he could come back and say the same thing, but this time energized. John Wesley sat there for 20-some years trying to get something going. All he could muster together was about 8 men in a room studying the Bible. He talked it, he preached it, and nobody listened to him. But one day at Aldersgate, he tapped into that energy source. And from that point, it became a reality to him. He became energized. And no longer was he preaching to 8. He was preaching to 8,000, 10,000 on street corners. Brother Branham went down to a little town, down in Indiana. Got to the town. He said something a vision had said, like a lamb was bleeding, crying out, wanting help. It just said the name of this town. He didn't know. That was 21 miles away. He went down there, went into the local store, and said, "Can I buy this apple crate from you? He said, what do you need it for? He said, I want to put it outside and preach. He said, you can have it. Brother Branham got out there, started preaching. Started preaching. He was energized. Somebody come up to him and he said, you know, I noticed that church up there on the hill, it's all boarded up. Nobody using it. The guy said, oh, the preacher got kind of caught up into something years ago and it's just been abandoned ever since. He said, do you mind? He said, well, I'd love to take a look at it. Oh, no, go ahead. So Brother Brown went up inside, started looking at the building and tried the door. It was locked. He said, I got on my knees and I prayed, Lord, if you want me to preach a revival in this town, you're going to have to open that door. He said, I got up and I tried the doorknob again. It was still locked. He said, but then I heard coming up around the corner, a man came around the corner and said, what are you trying to do, son? He said, I'd like to get in the building. He said, I'd like to get in the building and get it all cleaned up and preach a revival. The man said, well, I got the key. Here it is. Brother Brown said, I got in there that night, got it all cleaned up. He said, I started preaching that revival. He said, I had one man, one daughter out there in the audience. He said, within a few days, he said, they begin to come more and more. He said, what? He said, but that night, that first night, he said, as I'm preaching, he said, that brother, I can't remember his name, was sitting there and his daughter. He said, and the man down there in the, a man come in, looked real tough, he had a tooth missing. He just kind of sat down in the back. He said, I went out and I was handing out the song books. He said, I walked back there and gave him a song book. He said, I don't need it. He said, well, the guy said, I can't sing. He said, well, neither can we. But he said, just make a joyful noise. He said, I began to preach, and he said, that guy moved up a row. He said, as I kept preaching, he moved up another row, until finally he came down to the altar and gave his life to Christ. He said, turned out he had been the bully of that whole town. He got more fights than everything else in that town, or he became the pastor of that church. He said, that revival swept through that little town, and a little girl, sick in her bed for 8 years. Laying in her bed. What's her name? You all know the story about Georgia Carter. Georgia Carter. She lay in the bed. Her parents were Church of Christ. They didn't believe in healing. They didn't want, you know, her dad was a deacon in the church. He wanted to get her daughter up there because there was healing going on in that church. They had heard about people getting healed in that church. Brother Van was, you know, praying for the sick there, and they were getting healings and stuff, and he said that Georgia Carter, she had gotten, Brother Graham had passed up pamphlets, you know, about the love divine. She got a hold of it. He had talked about this little girl that had been all wound up and everything else, and she was delivered. She wanted that same thing. If God could do it for that girl, what could he do for her? And through the course of then, Brother Graham tells a story about how eventually he got to go and pray for her. When he did, he said that the girl's mother, when Brother Branham prayed for her, she wanted so much to get down to the service. She said, Lord, if you heal me, I'm going to get baptized. She got so wound up that her mother got so upset at Brother Branham that she began praying. She said, Lord, she says, don't let that man, that renegade preacher, ever come around my daughter again. He pumped her head so full of this nonsense that now she's all tore up and everything else. And she got to, you know, just praying and just, you know, cursing Brother Branham in her prayer. And all of a sudden she said something about, Lord, if you just show me a sign. Then she hears this clunk. And she goes to the window and she looks out and here comes Brother Branham. He walked in. She didn't have words. He went in to pray for her. God healed her right there. She stood to her feet. She went out and started playing in the yard. It brought a revival to that neighborhood, brother and sister. Gave that girl back her body. She was down to like, 35 pounds at 18 years old, I think it was. Oh, brother, sister, if God could just get a hold of you and I and just energize us with the love of God. But you've got to love one another to effectually pray for them. He sends the Holy Spirit to energize that word when he falls in it. When the word's being preached and the Holy Spirit brings the word, he energizes that and flashes the same light of God's blessed promise. God said, I have remembered my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm sending you down there. See? Then, when God's word, his promise becomes enlightened by the presence of the angel of the Lord, see? It stopped Moses then. Put him on his road, and God always keeps his promise. Notice that that's the reason why Moses failed in the first place. Here's what's the answer. It was the lack of having what the burning bush had. That's right. And what's our failure today? Is lack of having what the Holy Spirit has. And the Holy Spirit has all good things for us. And if we receive the Holy Spirit, then all things are possible. Not only possible, but He promised us. Jesus said, "Ask the Father anything in my name, and I'll do it. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will, and it'll be given you." See? When we stop, when we step into the light of God's word, with the unction of the Holy Spirit to shine the light upon it, brother, the impossible becomes little things then. God asks us to believe His word. He sends His Holy Spirit to energize that word. Bring it to pass. From fundamental foundation of faith, Brother Brown said, what did Christ redeem us for? Did you ever think what He redeemed us for? Why didn't He just make you the atonement and say now, there's no need of giving them deep powers. There's no need of making this man a son of God. There's no need of doing that. I will just ask him to believe it and write his name in the book of heaven, and that'll settle it. But He gave us these redeemed blessings that we might operate the work of God by the energy of the Holy Spirit. In St. John 15, He said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." Do you know that the vine can't bear fruit, although the fruit is in the vine? But the fruit cannot be brought forth from the vine. It has to have the branch to bear the fruit. And you are the branches. Now the vine with all of its energy cannot produce anything unless the branch is willing to receive the energy. Are you willing to receive the love of God in your hearts? From the inner man, he said, "I was just thinking. We are God's fruit bearers." And I believe in St. John the 17th chapter, he said, "You are the branches," and he was the vine. Now the vine puts forth fruit. Excuse me. But the branches has to bear the fruit. If the branch is getting its life out of the vine, well, it's the same kind of life that's in the vine. Do you think so? It has to be. Now, our hands and our lips and our eyes, them's God's hands, lips, and eyes that we have. He has on earth. Now, He's gone back to God and sends forth His energy of His Spirit to anoint us with the Holy Spirit. And then if we be submissive to Him, and then our hands represent His hands, that's the reason He said, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." That's why when even science took a picture of the man, they actually took a study. And the man that prayed for the sick, they took him, and as he prayed, they put a metal foil between him and the patient, and as he prayed, energy was received. Remember the woman, the story about the woman, Brother Brandon mentions her? That when she prayed, there was enough power coming forth from that prayer, brother, sister, that was 50 times that of a 50,000 watt radio station. And it just beep, 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 beep. That's energy. That's energy. That's enough energy to create worlds, heal the sick. From testimony of a true witness. And a sheep's not asked to bear wool. He's not asked to manufacture some wool this year. If he's a sheep, he'll have wool because he's a sheep. We don't have to say, "Well, now I believe I'm a sheep, so I better hurry up around here. I got to get some wool for the master." He don't have to worry about that. As long as he's a sheep, he'll bear wool. He don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to manufacture no self-made piety. Now, I shouldn't do this. Now, I know I'm a Christian, so I shouldn't do this. Old brother trying to save itself by itself, by its own human efforts, yet sincere. What's the matter? What's the matter is weak pulpits, weak schools, weak seminaries. That's what's the matter. Teaching their theology. You say today the strength of the Christian, why are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Methodist. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Baptist. Now, that's the strength of Christianity today. How different, hallelujah, how different from that of the first church. They had none of these things to say, but they had been filled with an energy, a power of the Holy Ghost that had set them free from sin and death. They wasn't nominal. They had a love of God burning in their heart that sent them to the death. They're willing to do it. From We Would See Jesus, said, "Oh, if this group tonight, have you people here from Concord, in this great capital of one of the most beautiful states in the Union, if you could have that enthusiasm about Christ." He didn't wait and say, "I'm glad to see you." Nothing about it. He said, "Come, see who we found. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God.
That enthusiasm, the church today has lost its enthusiasm. Why? Because it's got out of the vine. It's no more being energized by the Spirit. Wells of water bubbling up into everlasting life. They've lost that zeal. Something's missing. God remains the same. Christ remains the same, but His church has disassociated itself with His connection, the vine, the Spirit. You know, he just thought of something here. He said, you know, that water bubbling up. I took a battery the other day and put the distilled water in, but I filled it too high, a little bit high. I plugged it in. As soon as I plugged it in, what happened? That water started bubbling up. Started coming up and overflowing. Why? Because the energy, it was energized. Hallelujah. Yeah. The same thing he's talking about here. That's why David said, my cup overfloweth. See? Look, the cup can only have so much water in it. It has a rim. Any water in excess of that? But when it's energized, it begins to bubble up. It begins to expand. Hallelujah. It's got to go somewhere. See? It can't stay in the cup any longer. And that's what happens with us. From the Queen of Sheba, he said, if the first bunch of people, he's the vine, John 15, and we are the branches. Now the vine does not bear fruit, the branch bears fruit as it's energized by the vine. And if the first branch out of that vine produces a church that wrote a book of Acts, the second branch will do the same thing. Every branch that comes out of that vine will be energized by the same life that's in the vine. Two more quotes and we'll close. From the Pergamian Church Age book, Brother Bassett, the seed word is energized by the Spirit. And finally, from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, you have to know it by the Spirit. Flesh cannot do these things. What is it? The vine, the branches, the same life that was in the vine comes through his branches. He feeds the branch through his vine. That's how he declares himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. For he said, I'm the vine, the Holy Spirit now. Christ in spirit form in you, energizing you with His Spirit to believe God, and He's everything that He does. He manifests Himself just like He did in the Bible times. The works that I do shall you also. A little while, and the world seeth me no more. Now, how many knows He said that? That's the unbeliever. Yet you shall see me, the believer. For I is a personal pronoun. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. And he's here. He's still here. We've got all this power, the power to create worlds. The one who created the worlds, his very presence has come to be with us. He has come to gather us together and to take us out. He has come, brother, sister, to connect. To connect. Do we want the power of God in our life? Amen. I do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because we know that you are that great source of divine energy, the great source of power, but yet there's got to be a conduit. That conduit is love. Father, we pray that you would use us in whatever capacity, that our hearts would be so in love with you, so in love with your people, that we would have the compassion, we would have the kindness, we would have all these things that goes with it. We would have the effectual, fervent prayer. And we know that it would avail much. And so, Father, for these young people, we pray. Help us, Lord, to effectually, fervently pray for them. And for those who aren't among us, let us also pray for them with love. Effectually praying with love. Until, Father, we begin to see results. We know that there's one who sows, one who waters, but it's you that gives the increase. And so, Father, may we, you have no hands but our hands, no eyes but our eyes, no lips but our lips. May it be you, Lord. May we love. May it be your love through us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.